Hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky. Hello! Hello! Oh, hello, Cheeky.
Hello, Cheeky.
Well, hello, Cheeky.
Why not listen to this show in stereo? Place one speaker on each wall of the room. Now place an ear to each speaker. Have you done that?
Bigot!
In an opinion poll taken recently...
Hello... Hello, listeners. Are you there? as all the post office lines normally available to the BBC are out of order, Hello, Cheeky, this week comes to you live from a telephone box in Slough. And so, we would, in fact, like...
Oh, look, we can't go on like this. We'll have to reverse the charges.
We've still got time left on this tuppence.
Hold up. We're going to hang up in a minute, so here is a message. Statistics have shown that most of our listeners come from 47 Willow Tree Lane, Runcorn, Cheshire. Hello, Eric and the Fletcher family. Could you replace your receiver and be prepared to accept the charges for this programme? We're replacing the receiver now.
You're through to Runcorn, caller.
Thank you very much. Hello, Mr. Fletcher.
No, it's Mrs. Fletcher here.
Oh, thanks for accepting the call, Maggie.
It's all right, we're just going out, but we'll leave the phone off the hook.
Would you? Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
University of the Air. Teach yourself country lore. Lesson one. How to identify trees.
They're tall, made of wood, and have leaves on them.
Except the small ones.
And in winter, they don't have leaves on.
And artificial Christmas trees aren't even made of wood, and I wish I was dead.
That was your first wish, John. Remember, only two to go.
Who are you?
I'm a fairy queen.
Okay, you.
The only applause I've ever resented. Shut up, John. You're dead.
Mr. Birmingham, you have an unusual hobby.
That's right.
You are, in fact, an elephant fancier.
Yes, I train homing elephants, you know, that's right.
What's the furthest any of your elephants has ever travelled?
Oh, that'd be Terry. He came from India once, you know. Mind you, he flew most of the way.
Jumbo jet, I suppose?
No.
Oh.
Look, would you give me a hand tidying up the elephants? The wife will be back in a minute and she doesn't know I do this.
Well, how do you explain the noise?
I tell her they're clumsy mice.
Oh.
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men trod on him.
How very unpleasant.
Oh, I know a worse one than that. I know, about little Jack Horner and little Bo Peep.
I have no interest in your perverted ramblings. What is it?
Little Jack Horner and little Bo Peep went out in the meadows to look for a sheep. Jack suggested a rest in the hay. Now little Bo Peep's in the family.
Really, really, really. Do you realise my young son's listening to this?
Is he?
Yes.
Do you know that puts our listening audience in double figures? This calls for some kind of celebration.
What on earth did you do that for?
It says quite distinctly in my script, John throws steamer at Tim.
You fool, it's a misprint. It should have been streamer. Streamer, idiot.
That's all the thanks I get, and I carried that all the way from Southampton.
Tim! Tim! You all right? Where are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm in a lady's cabin on A deck. But I think the ship's in trouble. The lady has inflated her life jacket.
Young man, I'm not wearing a life jacket.
Oh. Well, in that case, madam, you have the most enormous cabin on board. Are you first class?
class?
I've never had any complaints. Shall we dance?
Just a moment. I'm the captain.
Oh, good morning.
Hello. I still say it's not fair. The first mate got more rice pudding than I did at lunch.
Who's he?
A petty officer.
You and your problems with Marge Whoops.
Dear Marge, I've just given all our money to a phony estate agent who has absconded to Brazil. My husband has run off with a male voice choir. Both my daughters are call girls and my son has taken to sniffing cocoa. I'm standing here with both hands trapped in the mangle and writing this with a pen between my teeth as the house burns down. Dear Marge, what should I do?
Dear Betty, I've no idea, but thank you for the best laugh I've had in weeks.
Talking of boots, over to a chemist's shop.
Morning, Top.
Good morning. It's a rather delicate matter, actually. The wife and I have been trying to, you know, start a family for some years now, you know what I mean, without success. I wonder if you could help.
Yeah, of course. Take these capsules. Take your wife out this evening, give her some steak, salad and red wine. Have her wash two of the capsules down in a brandy, take her home, give her another large brandy, then give me a ring and I'll be round in 10 minutes.
Good afternoon. I am a tortoise.
Get your head out.
What? Oh, yes. Good afternoon. I am a tortoise. I'd like to talk about the war in the Pacific.
Thank you. It's been over for 30 years.
Yes, but I had to walk here from the station. The war in the Pacific.
We'd like a cup of tea.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's 50p.
Oh. Well, all right, then. Here you are.
We've never had a talking tortoise in here before.
With tea at 50p a cup, I'm not surprised.
University of the Air. How to stop a teething baby from crying.
Throw the baby over your shoulder. There'll be a bit of a thump when it hits the wall, but it'll cough won't quieten down.
Hello, Scotland Yard here.
This is George the Third. I need your help. I'm being followed.
Who by?
George the Fourth.
Get off. Calling all cars, calling all cars. Abandon the search for the false notes that have been flooding London recently. They have all been collected together into a rotten song, and here it is. Where are you now, Edith Cosgrove, who once held my heart in your hands? On a day trip to Broadstairs, you gave me a smile as we lay on the rain-sodden sands. You said it was love, Edith Cosgrove. I made you an undying vow. When you told me that I possessed style and panache, I bought 6 quarts of brown as a bit of a splash. Then you took back the empties and kept all the cash. Edith Cosgrove, oh, where are you now? You told me you cared, Edith Cosgrove, and I was a slave to your charms. Then with 3 drunken sailors, you got on a train and left me alone with my crisps in the rain. Now love has gone, and if we meet again, Edith Cosgrove, I'll break both your arms.
Yet again, Hollywood film endings that didn't happen but should have. First, Guns Over the Pacific.
Okay, you guys. There's only 5 of us left alive, and on the other side of that ridge is the whole Japanese army. The odds are stashed against us, but if just one of us can get through alive, we could save the whole of the South Pacific for freedom. What do you say, guys?
Get stuffed!
Meanwhile, in a solicitor's office, not 1,000 miles from his briefs.
This is the last will and testament of Joey the Budgerigar, late of 3 Gladstone Villas East 7. I bequeath my ladder and bell to the smallest fireman in the London Fire Brigade. My mirror to Mr. Lionel Blair to use as he thinks fit. The bottom of my cage and the contents thereof to Mr. Ken Russell as the basis for a film.
And now, over to the interview studio, where Sidney Thrushbottom is talking to Mr. and Mrs. Horace Stagnant. Sidney?
Thank you. Mr. Stagnant, your ill-spelt and rather grubby letter informed us that your wife was extremely musical.
That is correct. Is it not so, Desiree?
Yeah. Are you Panorama or News at 10 or what?
Hello, Cheeky.
Not while my husband's here, please.
What instrument does your wife play, Mr. Stagnant?
Oh, no. Au contraire. I play her. Observe this large feather. Ooh. By applying this to various parts of my wife's anatomy, I can produce a series of musical notes. Thus, the lobe of the left ear gives me a middle C.
Good heavens.
La mote juste. By varying the location, speed and pressure, I can play you anything from Mersey Dotes to St. Teresa of the Roses.
Fascinating. Could you give me a sample?
Not while my husband's here, so...
Well, certainly. What do you want?
Anything you'd like.
Oh, pleasure. Ready, dear? Here is a little etude we have just perfected. 2, 3.
Oh, not there, Horace. You know it brings me on my dizzy spells. Oh, try it there.
There? Well, I'm afraid we're running out of time, Mr. Stagnant. Do you think you could give us a jolly little tune to take us back to the studio?
Yes, or perhaps you'd like to have a go. Yeah,
not while you're here. Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Yes, here we go.
I think I love
you. Here, just a minute. Don't you...
On the chart, you think.
Shall we dance?
No, Gladys, let's go to your room and take all our clothes off.
It's funny, you know, a lot of people keep mistaking me for Barry Cryer.
You are Barry Cryer.
Ah, that would explain it. The wife's going to be livid, you know.
Why?
She thinks I'm the Duke of Kent. Makes all the servants call her Duchess.
How can you afford servants?
I'm the Duke of Kent, aren't I?
Oh, you're not. You're Barry Cryer.
Oh, my God. Darling, sack the third footman.
Why the third footman?
Well, no one in the house has got 3 feet. You've got to start somewhere.
And now, over to an expensive restaurant not 1,000 miles from Egon Rone.
Wine waiter, please. Ah, we're having the Côte de Veau à la Marsala, and to go with it, I thought we might enjoy a Puy Limon Traché Le Roux Hôpital 1969.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid we don't have it.
Oh, well, knickers. 2 light ales, then.
All right.
Silence in court. Hetherington Marchbank, young yanks, actor of Shakespeare Villas, Hampstead, you are charged that on the night of August the 5th, you were caught loitering with intent to commit a felony. What do you have to say?
Good, my lord, upon that very magic night, of a sudden I became enamored of the moon, that wondrous queen surrounded by her twinkling courtiers. And as I pondered on the insignificance of man midst cruel infinity, I was approached by yonder constable, a man of little poetry, who apprehended me. My lord, I'll speak no more, but throw myself upon thy gentle mercy.
I acquit you of the charge for which you were brought before this court, Mr. Marchbanks, but must in all conscience fine you £10 for overacting.
God bless you, my lord.
Meanwhile, in a dressmaking class not 1,000 miles above the knee.
You'll never believe this, Vicar, but Mrs. Sharman's just made a jersey out of blue wool.
What's unusual about that?
She milked it and got 3 pints.
Must you dance every dance with the same fortunate man?
Yeah, got me frock caught in his zip.
And now, thank you, and now for our second musical offering this evening, we would like to present a very little known recording of Mr. Edward Heath, God bless him, singing, "The Girl That I Marry Will Have to Be Like a Boat."
taking a stroll through London, breathing the petrol fumes. Taking a stroll through London, feeling my pipes all close up and clog. Every time that I'm inhaling the smog, what can compare with London? What little you can see. Odors of curry, soup and fried rice, no atmosphere was ever so nice. Fight your way in and cut off a slice for free. London is the place to be. A stroll through London, breathing the petrol fumes. Taking a stroll through London.
Oh! Strong.
Oh dear, satire lives. Thank you. In that song, the part of the piano was played by Sir Ralph Richardson, and the part of Dennis King was played by Joe Piano Henderson.
Oh, very funny. What sort of puffy name is Brooke Taylor?
I'm sorry, Sir Ralph. It was only meant as a joke.
I'm not Sir Ralph. I'm the Duke of Kent.
Damn you! Keep your hands off my wife!
For heaven's sake, let's get this whole thing clear! You are Tim Brooke Taylor, you are Dennis King, and you are Barry Cryer. All right?
All right. All right, then.
Thank you.
Who are you?
Oh. I must be the Duke of Kent. Excuse me, I'm going to go and get another footman.
Meanwhile, in a Western saloon, nowhere near the Duke of Kent.
Gee! Oh, yeah! Gee, kid, that was beautiful! How come a great banjo player like you is playing for nickels in a one-horse town like Roasted Elbow?
I told you, Mary Lou, my past is behind me. Oh. Listen, I'll play you one of your favorites.
Hi, kid. Remember me?
It's Pete the Plunker.
I've been looking for you, kid. I understand you've been calling yourself the fastest banjo in the West.
No, no.
Listen, kid, I got witnesses clear back to Dodge City. Fastest banjo in the West is my title. Anyone wants to take it from me, they gotta earn it.
You mean?
Yep. When I count three, go for your banjo.
Don't do it, kid. Don't do it. You don't need it. We could make a life here.
You don't understand, Mary Lou. A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do.
One, two, three. At least he died the way he would have wanted, with his plectrum in his hand.
Hello? Can you hear me? If that's the kind of rubbish you're going to do, I'm going to hang up. It's quite upset our little Edith. She's just been sick on cat.
No. Don't hang up, Mr. Fletcher. We're coming to the good bit now.
You sure?
Yes.
We've only got one cat, you know. All right. I'll leave the phone off the hook for another three pages. By the way, what is the good bit this week?
It's a crime story.
Is it suitable for children?
It's not even suitable for people.
All right, I'll call the wife in. Carry on.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Tiddles the cat, we present the story of a crime so breathtaking in its audacity that had it succeeded, the world as we know it today would no longer exist. We present The Gang That Stole Michael Aspel.
It was an ordinary day in Broadcasting House.
Hodges in the canteen, naked secretaries flitting through the corridors, and David Coleman singing "There'll Always Be an England." He does go on, that man, doesn't he? I once heard him doing a commentary on a boxing match between a Liberian and a Turk, and he kept telling us there was English elastic in the knickers.
Get off. I'll do it. The Gang That Stole Michael Aspel, Part 2. It was a warm spring evening one Sunday morning in November. In a BBC radio studio, one of the BBC's most popular programmes was drawing to a close. Elsewhere, they were finishing Family Favourites.
Well, that's the end of Family Favourites for this week. Thanks to Gladys Upchurch in New Zealand, Nosmo Frock in Beirut, and that funny man with adenoids in Montreal. This is Mike Aspel saying goodbye till next week. Just a minute, just a minute. Our signature tune is nothing like that.
Our budget's nothing like yours. We're stuck with them. Get on with it.
I haven't come here to be made a mock of.
Do you want to bet? Just get on with it.
Hey, look, you don't want me to read this next line, do you?
If you want the money.
You persuaded me. G Gang, thanks a million. It was a great show. I'm going to split the scene. Oh, God, I was better served in Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack!
I thought Eamon Andrews was a much younger man.
Meanwhile, in a soundproof room in Harpenden, three men switched off a radio set, lit up a brown ale, and waited. Finally, their leader, a tall, short man with a slight Scots accent in his left eye, spoke.
It is agreed, then, next Sunday we strike. While they are still laughing at the 1 o'clock news summary, you, Igor, will flood the Family Favourite studio with odourless gas. You, Hamish, will steal Michael Aspel, and I will replace him with our own compere.
Is he ready?
Down to the last detail. Look.
It's amazing. He walks like Mike Aspel walks.
Good morning, everybody.
He talks like Mike Aspel talks.
Everything all right?
His hair has a kind of curl.
To my mind, he's my kind of...
You dare, I'll walk straight out of this sketch.
Ivanovich, you have done a magnificent job.
You don't know the half of it.
Well...
When I started, he was 5 foot tall and a tiller girl.
Look into my eyes and say after me.
After me.
Silence! You are no longer Edith Scruggs of the Queen's Theatre, Blackpool. You are now suave, debonair, handsome Michael... I don't remember typing that bit.
I don't know.
Well, I hope you don't mind. I took the opportunity of tidying up the script just a bit.
I told you we should have got Pete Murray.
He's just as bad.
I know, but he can't write.
True. Mikhailovich, the study and training are over. When I snap my fingers, you will be Michael Aspel.
Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Family Favourites.
My God, it's uncanny when you close your eyes and listen.
What?
He sounds just like Gene Metcalf.
And so, the following Sunday morning...
Thank you, Michael. That's all from Montreal. Back to you in London.
Thank you, Funny Tavarich, with the adenoids. Now, here in London, our first record for New Zealand goes to Mr. Raspolnikov, 3 High Street, Moscow. Mary Hopkins singing, "The microfilm is under the third bench on the left." And after that, the Sid Lawrence Orchestra will play the plans of a new jet fighter.
This was it, the beginning of a daring plot to smuggle state secrets across the Iron Curtain to an unnamed country we shall call Russia. Would the ruse succeed? Had he fooled the BBC? Sir? Sir?
What? Oh, book another series of Take It From Here and give Geraldo his own show.
No, sir. Listen.
And our last record for Cyprus goes to Mr. Raspolnikov of 3 the High Street, Moscow, and it's Clodagh Rogers singing "I Know Something Naughty About a Labour MP."
See what I mean, sir?
But I like it. I know something naughty about a Labour MP.
Will no one listen to me? I'll try and hear.
Stop it, Mr. DiManio!
Oh. In that case, I, Quentin Belfridge, T-boy and part-time governor of the BBC, will fight this foreign plot alone. I must hie me to the Family Favourite studio.
You must what?
Hie me.
What do you want already?
Give me a lift to the Family Favourite studio.
It'll cost you.
Oh.
Well, ladies and malchicks, with Tom Jones's recording of Troop Movement in the Middle East, that's Family Favourites for another week. Dos vidania, one and all.
something not quite right.
That's what I said. They said they couldn't afford a better orchestra.
Shut up, you fool. I'm acting.
And not before time.
Oh. Watch it, Aspel. We could do it again with Terry Wogan.
There's no answer to that.
No. It wasn't much of a question. I am Quentin Belfridge. Who are you?
Michael Aspel, Tavaric. Uh-huh. Mate.
His facade was faultless, but Quentin wasn't fooled. As the fake Aspel jauntily adjusted his cycle clips and rode off, the young T-boy and part-time governor of the BBC followed on his supercharged Jaime.
Up, up and away! Mikhailovich, you should not have come here.
Why?
Because we left 2 hours ago. The game is up.
What do you mean?
Look out of the window.
My Godovich, they've surrounded the place with a no-no win.
All right, baby. Throw out the real Michael Aspel and come out with your trousers up.
You'll never take me alive.
All right. No more Mrs. Nice Guy. Here's the ultimate deterrent. Take this.
Congratulations.
Ah, we surrender.
We stopped the fiends in the nick of time. Now broadcasting can get back to normal. Switch the radio on.
Hello, this is Terry Roganovich fighting the Flapsky with the Tummies and the Tyski. You can get ginormous-ky if you don't...
You've been listening to The Michael Aspel Show, or Hello Cheeky. It was written, and performed by Tim Brooke-Taylor, Barry Cryer, and John Junkin, three acquaintances of Michael Aspel. The music was played by the Dennis King Trio, all members of the Michael Aspel fan club, and produced by Richard Wilcox, devoted slave and admirer of Michael Aspel. The part of Mikhail was played by Michael Aspel, and the part of Michael Aspel was played by Charlton Heston. This program was recorded on microfilm for the benefit of Tavaric Raspolnikov, 3 High Street, Moscow.
Get off!
How dare you!
Sayonara, chicken!
Au revoir!
Wiedersehen! Cheeky.
Get up. Oh, that's nice.